We're going to read this morning from three or four little passages. So we're thinking this morning about David. We started thinking about David 3 weeks ago, and we left David having defeated Goliath. And this morning we're thinking about David's friendship with Jonathan and how that worked out in his life and what that might mean for us today. And so we begin with, as I say, we're going to have short readings from different places, but we're going to begin 1 Samuel 18. Most of them are in 1 Samuel. So it's 1 Samuel 18, and that's page 290 if you've got a Bible with you. And we're going to read from verse 1 from chapter 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And then over the page to chapter 20 and from verse 30. And this is describing an incident between Saul, who is Jonathan's father and the king, and Jonathan, as Jonathan speaks up for David. Verse 30. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse," that is David, "to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. And then, a couple of pages, chapter 23. This is further on in the story. David's all alone, or pretty much all alone. He's on the run, and there's an incident that happens here. Verse 15. Of chapter 23. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel, and I'll be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. And then in John 15, which is page 1083, if you've got a church Bible, John 15 from verse 12. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his word. When we think about friends, famous friends, we might think of different people. We might think, if you've been reading a book about them, which I have, then you might think of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. They were great friends. They had their ups and downs, a lot of downs in certain times, but in their friendship, they created music, which are quite famous now. So you might think of them, or you might think of Woody and Buzz Lightyear. Friends, you've got a friend in me. I'll not sing it. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. This morning we're thinking not about the friendship of John Lennon and Paul McCartney or even of Buzz Lightyear and Woody. We're thinking of another friendship, the friendship of Jonathan and David. We left David a couple of weeks back. He's been anointed to be the king, but he's not the king yet. It's kind of done in secret, and King Saul is still king. And the last time we left David was he had just defeated Goliath. And this was the beginning for David of a period of his life that would involve great drama. It would involve ups, popularity amongst some, but it would also include a lot of downs. It would include times of success as a man of battle. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, the people would say. But it would also lead to times of danger. Saul, the king, was threatened by David and his success, and wanted eventually David to be put to death. And after attempts on his life, David would eventually be forced to go on the run. He would flee. And that would lead to times of uncertainty and times where he messed up, but also times of darkness in his life. Yes, David would ultimately be the king that he was anointed to be, but it would take years of uncertainty and of turmoil before he got there. And remember, he was just a young guy, inexperienced. And crucial in his getting through this as a young guy was a friendship. Was Jonathan, a friend who was not always necessarily with him through it all, but who was a friend through it all. Would David have become king without Jonathan? Jonathan's presence was really important for David. And in some ways, it was an unexpected friendship. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And so was presumably in line for the throne. If something happened to Saul, then people would say, well, it's King Jonathan now. So it was unexpected. But it was a friendship that was formed. And I want us just to think a little bit this morning about Jonathan's friendship with David. And also we'll think a little bit about how it maybe points us to another friendship. But what was this friendship? What did it look like? What did Jonathan's friendship with David look like? Well, there were certain elements to it, and there are elements that we can perhaps, that we'll be able to see in our friendships. First of all, it was a friendship that involved commitment. We're told in chapter 18, the first section that we read, of how David becomes part, really, of Saul's household. And we're told that then Jonathan becomes one in spirit with David, that he loved him as himself. Seems that they'd got to know one another. They had stuff in common. They had a common faith in God. They talked about stuff, presumably, and they had the same passions, the same faith. They connected, and their friendship came about, and it grew. And it's a friendship where they loved one another, cared for one another. And it comes to a point where Jonathan, he seems to initiate it. He makes a covenant with David. This was a kind of a formal declaration. It wasn't just, yeah, I'm going to be your friend on Facebook, or I'm going to be a friend of yours on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it was. No, this was a lot deeper than that. Jonathan was saying, David, I'm going to be your friend. In the ups and in the downs, in the times when you mess up and in the times when you're going great, I'm going to be there. It's not just going to be a short-term thing. It's not just going to be when their life is easy. But no, I'm going to be your friend through thick and thin. And the You've Got a Friend song goes on, if you've got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through, because you've got a friend in me. In Proverbs, the writer says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It's a commitment. And as part of this commitment, the friendship that Jonathan had with David was also sacrificial, in that he made sacrifices for his friend. In the first reading from chapter 18, there's a strange, or what to us probably seems like a strange incident, where Jonathan gives David his cloak and his sword and all that kind of stuff. And you might be wondering, well, what's that's a bit weird. What's going on there? Well, in these days, the clothes and your possessions in many ways represented your position, your person, who you were. And Jonathan's position was he is heir to the throne. And so what Jonathan is doing by presenting his robe to David is he's in a sense saying, you're going to be king. It's not going to be me. Presumably, David has told him about the incident where, when he was anointed by Samuel. They've talked about stuff. What does all this mean? Jonathan is saying, I relinquish my position for you. Didn't want to hold on to what he had, not for his friends. He says, no. This is for you. But as well as that, Jonathan also again and again puts his life in danger for David. Jonathan was in a tricky position. here he was. He was the son of King Saul, and he wanted to do what his father wanted. He wanted to be faithful to his father, but he also he wanted to be loyal to David. And that leads to conflict because Saul wants David dead. We read in chapter 20 one of the incidents that happened where Jonathan is with his father, he's with Saul, and he is trying to support David and speak up for David. And what does Saul do to him? Imagine saying this to your son or your daughter. He says, you are the son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Not very nice. But then he throws a spear at him. Not the thing that a father should do. But it's interesting. You notice that in the reading? Saul throws a spear at Jonathan. And what does it say? Jonathan realized that Saul wanted to kill David. Really? And Jonathan then goes on, despite the danger, to help David escape. And even when David is on the run, Jonathan wants to help him and reaches out to him, which we'll come on to in a moment. A sacrificial friendship. At any point, Jonathan could have said, this far, but no further. It's too costly. It would be, I need an easier life. When I made this covenant, I didn't quite realize it would mean this. A committed sacrificial friendship. It's also a friendship where Jonathan encouraged David and encouraged him in his walk with God. In chapter 23, which we read, David is on the run and everything is becoming a little bit desperate. Things aren't going to plan. And it's looking like his days are numbered, or so it seems to David. He's fed up. Maybe you're fed up this morning. He's been let down by his so-called other friends and his allies, and it seems it's only a matter of time before Saul catches him and all the rest. What happens? Verse 16. Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father of Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel, and I'll be second to you. The picture, kind of the picture here is of David's hand kind of slipping, you know, of slipping out of God's hand. So here's David, and his hand is slipping in a sense. And Jonathan comes along and he kind of puts his hand upon them both, and on David's, and he says, yeah, he kind of clasps it back and he said, no, don't let go. Helps them to find strength in God. He helps them to trust in God. He helps them to look to God. He reminds David of God's promises. He reminds David of God's love, of his grace and his mercy. David was beginning to doubt. He was beginning to think everything was going to go wrong. But you're a friend who came at just the right moment with just the right words and just the right encouragement. We need friends. Don't we? We need friends. Now, our friends might be friends within our own families, our husband, our wife, our brother or sister or beyond. Or it might be friends as in we would typically think of a friend, perhaps a friend at work, a friend in church. It's not good to be alone. That's what Adam found in the garden and God created Eve. Friends that are committed, friends who are ready to make sacrifices and who are there to encourage. We need the presence of others. And just as David had Jonathan, perhaps not to the same degree or in the same way, but with the same principles, perhaps there are people or there's a person that comes to your mind this morning. Someone, that person who has been there for you. Who you know has prayed for you. Who you know has encouraged you. Who has been there when you've been in the depths. And they've not run away. They've been there. And in our Christian lives too, don't we? We need friends, Christian friends, who will be there for us. And this is a picture of Christian friendship. Perhaps this morning we need to thank God for the friends in our lives who have been there, perhaps at different points in our lives. But it's also brings the challenge, well, what kind of friend am I? But I wonder if, as we've been thinking about this friendship, as we think about Jonathan and his friendship with David, I wonder whether it's reminded you at all about another friend that the Bible talks about. It's an old song that we used to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Again, I'll not sing it for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, as we think about friendship, what it is to be a true friend, we can see that Jesus is, he's the ultimate friend. We might think this morning, well, David had Jonathan, but I don't have a Jonathan in my life. Don't you? For Jesus is the ultimate friend. He's a friend who's committed to us. Who says, "I'll be with you through thick and thin. More than that, even to the end of the age." He's a friend who is an encourager. Who wants to build us up and to restore us. Tells us actually he's interceding for us now. He prays for us. He's wanting to encourage us in our walk with him. Read about him in the Gospels as he speaks to different folks at different stages in their lives. He's wanting to build them up. He's wanting to encourage them. He's wanting to touch their lives. And he does that for us. But he's also a friend who gives of himself. Speaking to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, he calls them his friends. You're not servants, you're my friends. And he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. That's what we'll be focusing on in a moment. And that friendship, a committed, sacrificial, encouraging friendship, is one that he offers to us today. He offers the hand of friendship. And then we have a true friend. A friend who is loyal. A friend who is an encourager. A friend who will never let us down. A friend who lays down his life for us. Hymn writer writes, I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart stole closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. The ultimate forever friend. We're going to sing together now of that friendship and of the grace that we find in the friendship of Jesus Christ. As we sing together, Grace, let's stand as we sing together.
Rise up and over.